Well, it's always a joy to be at Open Door. It brings back so many memories. Some of you sitting here date back with me, and you were here before I got here. But we came, the church started in 77, and we became part of this church in 78. And so, and the history of this church. And I first met Sid in 84 when I was here by myself for some family reasons, but very grateful for the history here and for the work and the ministry of Open Door Bible Church. If you weren't here for the ABF part of the service, I was so proud of John. Always have been. It's such a blessing to have a great son-in-law. And he is a great one. He's also funny. We like to have fun, you know. We can laugh at about anything, even eating or whatever. We know we make fun of either what we're eating or how we're eating it. And it's just a lot of fun to be with John. And good to have Norm and Linda here. They served in Paraguay for so many years. I remember hearing about them in the early days, in the 60s, as they headed down to Paraguay, South America, and became some of the original contact people as they rode their horses back in there. And I think Linda lived in a way that no one else has lived like her. Don could give us a little update on that because he was a kid back in those days too. But I'm blessed. On the back of your bulletin, it says 20-plus grandchildren. I have 24 to fill that out for you. And I have 11 great-grandchildren. And we will have our 12th great-grandchild in August. And I just had a granddaughter get married last week. It was Saturday, the 12th. And she said, "Grandpa, I expect to have 7 kids." Well, let me see now. So I started counting. I feel like Moses, you know, all these children. Actually, when we get together, it is something, because we have to find either a gymnasium or something to meet in, because we just sleep on floors and everything. But you know, all these grandkids that are there, it's such a blessing because they're not a problem. You see them helping one another, and we're playing volleyball and stuff like that, and. I don't know if you remember as well, Paul Vennerheide is my son-in-law. Well, and Paul and I leave next month for Asia. And it's going to be a joy going with Paul. Paul is just a real blessing talking about the Lord. He's a businessman, but he's a guy who honors the Lord in his business and knows that as he honors God, God will honor him. And because God makes that clear, those who honor me, I will honor them. And you know, one of the testimonies, I don't know about you people, but how much you know about Chick-fil-A. I don't know the guy's name that started that, but it's such a blessing, you know. And, you know, people came up to him and he said, "You know, if you just open on Sunday, you'd get more business." And I'd love it. He says, "Well, that's not who I am. That's not who I am." And he says, "I want to honor the Lord." And, you know, a lot of business people said he'd never succeed. If you don't open on Sunday, you'll never succeed. And, he's not only huge, he's an incredible blessing and example. I sat in a seminar just recently. We had it satellite into our church. A lot of business people were there, and it was a Chick-fil-A type. I forget what they call them, but Tim Tebow was one of the speakers, and a lot of others just a couple of weeks ago. And that's another young man that I truly have learned to appreciate is Tim Tebow. I don't know if you. He's not a Packer guy, so some of you wouldn't even know who I'm talking about. But Rodgers, does that ring a bell to any of you? Oh, okay, now I'm connecting. But anyway, Paul and I will be going to Asia, and we're going to a place that we can't talk about, can't be put on the Facebook, can't be put on the Internet right now, but I have never been there. I prayed for missionaries that were later martyred there. Betty Mitchell's husband, Archie, was martyred in 68 in the country I'm going to. But so many missionaries died there. So many were in prison in that particular country. And we're going to sit with believers, some in unregistered churches, meaning underground-type churches. Others are in house churches and stuff. But we're looking forward just to be a blessing. So on June the 11th, we will fly out on a 10-day trip. So it's going to be a quick a quick round trip. And do appreciate you praying for us. We've all the needs have been provided for. We're very grateful. Well, normally I introduce, my introduction is about Timmy and his baptism, but I won't do that right now. I stole John's thunder, you know, and also about the others that were being baptized. Well, wasn't that a great blessing if you were here, you know, as seeing these people just being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, who were roaming nomadically just a few years ago in the jungles of the Chaco jungles of Paraguay, South America, and it's what God is doing today. I want you to take your Bibles, if you will, and I'm told that we have to get out of here at noon. You know, Sid says it's noon, or everybody walks out where you're done or not. So I didn't quite believe him, but you know, you never know. And so if you take your Bible, by the way, he didn't say that, but Luke chapter 24, the 24th chapter of Luke. And what I want to share with you is my meditation on this chapter. And I want to challenge you, beloved. Be a student of the Word of God. You know, the Bible was written for you. It was written so that with you in mind, and I don't know if you know the history of translations, but there were men who were martyred to get this book into your language so that you could read and understand God and know Him. They were exiled. They had to leave their homes and their children and they were exiled or run and hide in order to continue to translate. Some were so hated, they were actually exhumed and brutally treated again because of such hatred. I think William Tyndale or one of the translators was actually exhumed and they burned his bones or whatever. I can't remember the exact thing, but there was such hatred toward anyone who would dare put the language of the Word of God in common man's language. Aren't you grateful? And I want to sing this little chorus because, you see, I want you to be a student of the Word. You say, well, Bill, I don't understand. Yes, you can. The Spirit of God can make the Word of God very real to you. And it's the Word of God that's going to sustain you. You're going to see that in a moment. But when I was in boot camp many years ago, Mel Wyman, by the way, was my director. And Mel is in the hospital. He's really suffered a great deal right now and may go home any moment. But Mel taught me this course. And please don't get up and leave. Some of you will ask me to get my money back for my voice lessons. I realize that. But I'm going to sing this course for you, okay? It's, make the book live to me, dear Lord. Show me Thyself within Thy Word. Show me myself and show me my Savior. And make the book live to me. You know, a wonderful chorus. And I remember as Mel shared that, I just sat back and realized, yes, Lord, make the book live to me. Show me my Savior. Because it's written about Him. He says, you know, if you study the Scriptures, you'll find me. I'm on the pages from the Old Testament right through the New. And show me myself, my sinfulness, and show me my Savior, and make the book live. I want to talk about two men, if you'll look in Luke chapter 24. Two men on the way to Emmaus. And we'll pick it up in verse 13. But before we read that verse, I want to talk about a meeting that they left. And the meeting that they left was the verses that preceded this verse. And what happened was, it was on, Jesus had been crucified on Friday, and there was a bunch of ladies who went to the tomb to bring spices and to anoint the body of Jesus. And when they got there, they found that the tomb was open and the stone had been rolled away. And when they looked in, there was an angel sitting there. And he says, excuse me, why are you seeking the dead? Why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? He's not here. Man, that blew them away, you know. And so they got their spices. I'm not sure where they left them. Probably dropped them on the ground. I'm not really sure. But they were so fired up. They saw an empty tomb, angels telling them that Jesus is not here, He's alive. And they head back to this meeting, you know. And it's like, let's just say, you know, all of a sudden they bust through these doors. We're having a meeting, you know, and they begin to give us incredible truth. He's alive, guys. The tomb is empty. We had messengers who told us He lives. And they said something else, and it's in verse... And they stopped and said, guys, and one of the things they did, because I think the lady said, you know what, we never listened to Him. We didn't believe Him. And the problems you're going to see in a couple of guys' lives here is simply because they forgot God's Word. And I can tell you this, when you forget God's Word, you're heading to defeat. Okay? You're heading to a valley of doubt and fear and a lack of peace and a lack of joy. And we're going to see this. But look at verse 6, because it said this, and He is not here, the angel says, but He is risen. Remember, he says. And I want you to remember this morning, beloved. Remember God's Word. Whatever you're going through this morning, remember God's Word. It is sufficient for your need. It is sufficient where you are. He says, remember how He spoke to you while He was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And then He says, they remembered His Word. And that's when they took off. And they burst in this meeting. And they're telling all these guys. And you know what they said? That's nonsense. Can you imagine that? Nonsense. These are Christians. Have you ever said, I don't... You know, somebody might look at you and said, the answer for your marriage is God's Word. That's nonsense. Has everybody just ever thought about it? The answer to your particular problem is God's Word. Everybody's always saying that. God doesn't know me, and on, but I want to tell you this morning, beloved, the answer is God's Word. Amen? And we're going to see this. And so, these two guys leave that meeting, and you would have thought that they would leave that meeting so fired up and so encouraged that they would just be, men, they would just be burning in their hearts. Well, let's pick it up, verse 13. And behold, two of them... And I'm glad, you know, the Lord writes about two of them. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. This is my devotions or my thoughts about the Scriptures. I meditated on it, and I've been here, okay? Maybe that's why it means so much to me. Maybe you've never been here, but I have been here, all right? And it says, and the two men were going the very day to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles away from where their meeting was, verse 14. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. And while they were talking, discussing, Jesus Himself approached them and began traveling with them. Can you imagine that? Would you have chosen to travel with these two guys? They just telling us nonsense? That He had left them witnesses? People had stood up and gave testimonies. You know, I've been in missionary meetings, and people arise. It's just like John said, he gives testimony of God's faithfulness. You would think we'd all buy into that. But we sat back and said, well, nah, that's not for me. God couldn't do that for me. Man, I've heard testimonies over the years, folks, that's just been incredible of God's provision. How God can supply. How God can meet needs. How God can protect. And so forth and so on. But we leave thinking, nah, that's not for me. Somehow we believe that God can do that for you, but not for me. And then, so He draws alongside of these guys. And we'll pick it up again then in verse 16. But their eyes, and I don't quite understand this. This is unique. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing Him. Strange, isn't it? Isn't it? Jesus is quite a cool guy, isn't he? Sometimes He walks in and says, hi, guys. Here's my hands and my feet. Hey, me, look. Here we go. Touch if you want to. This is a touch and feel program. Go ahead. It's me. But with these guys, He just shows up and He just says, I'm not going to let them know who I am for all. I'm going to listen in on this conversation. Has He ever listened in on your conversation? Maybe not, because is he not with you? Or is He always with us? Which is it? Always. So He does listen to my conversation, right? He swallows. I want to see what Bill's thinking today. Okay. A little work to be done here. And you know. So. And so He listens in. But he never criticizes. You won't see criticism in this chapter. He rebukes him a little bit and simply says, why couldn't you believe the truth? But you know, he didn't walk away from them. Listen, beloved, he walks in when everybody walks out. He's a friend. He's your Savior. And he understands like no other person. And he walks with you. He walks with me, the songwriter said. He talks with me. And so, he says, guys, he says, what's going on? And I want you to notice the end of verse 17. He said, guys, what's going on? And they stood there. Now listen to this. Looking sad. They had just left an incredible meeting of a risen Savior. An empty tomb. Angels declaring it. Witnesses coming. First hand. Seen it. Done that thing. Dropped our spices. We're here to tell you. He lives. And they had, number one, I want you to get this, they had the look of defeat. The look of defeat. And Jesus drew alongside of them. Let me tell you something, beloved. When the problem was, they forgot His Word. And because they forgot His Word, they were living in defeat. And, you know, defeat robs us of joy, doesn't it? Because I just want to say, you know, a guy last night had a shirt on, must have had 40 faces on it. He walked up and said, you must have been talking about my shirt. I don't know who he was. He had all kinds of faces. I said, can I borrow your shirt? You know, I wanted to wear that thing today because you see, your look betrays you. Have you ever had somebody just look at somebody, what? You haven't said a word. What? Nothing. Yes, there is. What? Because they can see it. Or somebody looks at you and says, are you all right? Well, yeah, I'm fine. No, you're not. Because there's something bothering you. No, there isn't. Yes. And you go, well, okay. Because it's your face. Your face is telling these people there's something wrong with you. And with them, Jesus could see that they were living, what, in defeat. Guess what's wrong? Man, you must be the only guy around. Where have you been? It was in the Jerusalem Gazette. Did you read it? It was on ESPN or CNN News. Fox News is a little bit better for me, but that's okay. I should have never went there. I am really sorry. I don't get paid for either one. But I do get offhand. I have to stop. I get on rabbit trail. And I don't want to become political. So I have to be careful. I'm like a kid. And I also forget. Last night, I told the folks, and remember, is Bev here? Oh, there she is. I need her. But anyway, I told the folks last night, I said, sometimes I step over here to tell a story, and I forget what I'm supposed to do over here. And when I stepped over here last night, I couldn't remember what I was here for. So I was like this, you know, I was rubbing my forehead. I said, guys, and they thought I was kidding. I did not know what I was here for. And I couldn't, so I was wondering, well, what am I trying to share, you know? And then I said, I want to share a verse out of Philippians chapter 5, and there's no fifth chapter in Philippians. So this guy's going like this, you know, and you know, and I'm reading away. So his son, I don't have a cell phone, his son-in-law or son? I'm not sure. Jim's not sure, but... So he has it on his cell phone. And he keeps hitting, you know, cell phones, blop. He hits it again, blop, you know. 4, 4, 4. His cell phone's telling, you know. And so he's got, so he shows this guy. It's right here, buddy, right here, you know. But I'm reading chapter 5, 6 through 7. And had no idea, you know, no idea. And so I wanted to apologize to Sid before I left because some people wonder, where did he get this guy? Was he wandering the streets? And he probably has some problems. And now, where was I? I'm sorry? Jerusalem Gazette. Ooh, boy, did you hear that? I like that. Haven't you read the papers? Don't you know what's going on? The Romans killed our Savior. They handed Him over to wicked men and they crucified Him. Can you imagine Jesus going, they did? Interesting. I didn't know that. And so He's talking to these guys. He's fellowshipping with them. But they are living in defeat, beloved, because one, all the news that they needed to know had been given to them, but they didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. I'm going to ask you this morning, what kind of countenance do you wear? Because you see, I hear people more and more in this world who are so politically motivated and so conscious of governments and world problems that they actually have on their faces no joy, no peace, not spring in their step about a living God who's in control of the world is not there anymore. And so people look at us, what's wrong with you? What's wrong? Haven't you heard? Haven't you seen? Do you watch television? And I'm not saying we shouldn't be involved in things and concerned and praying. But beloved, do we have any reason to live in defeat? None. None. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And I know that He lives regardless of what men may say. You know, He lives. He lives. Right? And so these guys were living in defeat and they'd lost their joy and their peace. And then if you can, go on with me. If you'll look, then we just quoted verse 12. Well, somebody quoted it. Look at verse 21, okay? Not only did they have a look of defeat, look at verse 21. But we thought. But we were hoping that it was Him. We were hoping that it was Him and that He was going to redeem Israel. We were hoping that somehow God could bring revival to America and somehow God would do this with our government and God would do that with our government and on and on. And we were hoping and we were thinking and now we've lost our countenance, beloved. And people see us and they want, what's wrong with you? Where's your joy? Where's that peace that the world needs to see in the midst of a storm? It's gone because we've forgotten His Word. You know, Paul wrote the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. He did not write chapter 5. Theological lesson, just in case you didn't know that. He wrote the book of Philippians. And where did he write it from? Well, that's right. He was in a seminar, and he was actually in an oasis, and he was actually spending the night in a suite. He had a jacuzzi in his room, and he actually got the idea of writing the book of Philippians. Am I correct? Where was he? He's in prison. And you know who was in charge of him? In charge of the country at that time? Nero. And Paul had no senator to write to defend him. He had no human rights organization that could write Nero and put pressure on him that they were incarcerating this guy and harassing him over and over again. The sad thing is, all that Paul had was God. Sad? No. If that's all he's got everything. And so Paul, when he penned this in prison, said, you know what, Bill? Rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. Wow. And you know, I'm having coffee with him. You know, have you ever had coffee with Paul? He doesn't like Starbucks. Dunkin' Donuts always grabs him. And so we're having coffee, Paul and I, you know, we're talking, and I'm seeing the expression on his face, you know, and Paul looks at me, and I'm looking at him, and he smells, you know, and I'm down there visiting him, and I'm saying to him, how can you live here? They're going to the potty there in the corner, and where do you urinate, and the flies, and there's no sewage system, and he's chained, and he can't get away. He can't change himself. He can't go to the bathroom. He's in a dungeon. But his countenance is one of confidence. He lives. And he rules. And he says, brothers, there's not only a crown awaiting me, but he scans the audience and he says, there's one for you too. And for all of us who are looking for his return. Wow, this is coming from a man who's in prison. And in that chapter, he was beheaded shortly after he wrote 2 Timothy. But that's Paul. And boy, you get through fellowship with him, you go out and go, yeah, you know, you just go out and go, wow, what a God we have. And yet you leave the presence of some people and you go, man, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if God's with me or not. And so in this verse, you know, what you have here in verse 21, they had a look of confusion. They didn't, because you know, some people apply Scripture and it doesn't always work out. Does it? You know. I knew a lady, she said, you know, I'm saved. And she said, I'm going to apply this Scripture. I'm going to love my husband regardless. You know, I will love him because God wants me to submit to him. You know what a lot of people say? You're nuts. And the sad part is some Christians will say that. You're crazy. Nonsense. It's confusing to think that I should submit to somebody, but that's what the Lord said. He said, love him, submit to him. You know, because you're doing it for me. You see, beloved, we forget his word. We forget it's the Lord telling us this. It's the Lord encouraging us to embrace His Word. And I don't have 12, right? Yeah, so, you know. Okay. No, I won't do that. There's a mad dash for the rest of the desserts, and I don't want to interfere with that. But, you know, I was with Nye Song, and I got to tell a story, and then we'll end this thing. But Nye Song was our first believer. And he was a guy, you know, and I'm sure John shared, you know, you get around some of these guys who are believers, at least with Nye Song. I've never known a man who walked with the Lord as close as Nye Song did. Never known a man to do that. You know, he had every reason to doubt. He had every reason to bow his head and be defeated, to be confused, because it seemed everything he wanted to do, God was taking his wife, or he was being blamed that he was causing spirits to destroy the fields and bad crops, and they're blaming it all on him. And so his wife gets real sick. And he comes over to me and he says, hey, Bill, we need to pray. You know, I said, what about, brother? He says, well, there's a bunch of shamans and witch doctors surrounding my house, but we need to go over there and pray. I went, what? You know. And so I begin, you know, he has God. Well, you know what I did? I tried to figure out how I can help God. Because I said, this is not going to work. Because if we go over there and God fails, this is the way I'm thinking now. And God doesn't do this thing. Someone's going to be discouraged and he's going to get worse. And so I'm talking to God, you know, you got to do something here. You know, why are you allowing this? You know, this is the only belief in the whole village. So I got a face of what? Confusion. What are you doing here? You know. But I grabbed some Singer sewing machine oil, and I put it in my pocket, you know, and I go with him. This is a great story, folks. I hope I can tell it right, but, you know, I'm following Nye Song, and I get to his house, and sure enough, squatting around his house are powerful shamans. Some of them are his relatives. He just kicks off his flip-flops. How many of you ever know what a flip-flop is? He kicks those things off, and I look at them, and they're cut in half. He's worn them so long, there's no heel to them anymore. Just had half. I wouldn't have worn them, but he wore them, cooked them off, and I flipped my new ones off, you know, and went up the stairs. And Nye Song, he just walked over there and sat by his wife and said, "Baby, we're going to pray." And he put his hand on his wife's head, and he says, "Now, I'll pray first." And then he said, "I want you to pray. And I want you to hear his prayer." Because it was one of worship. It was not about him. It was not about his wife. It was not about this event. It was for the glory of God, period. Regardless of what God would do. Here's what he said. Now pute, Creator God. My gohum ngit guneo. God, he says, you see everything. You know what's going on right now. My gohdumbai gubai hit kamlangujit. You know that my wife is in the process of dying. Hak, but Satamung Panyahi. He said, God, don't listen to what I say. Hak, but Boy Panyamai. But he said, God, do whatever you want to do for your glory. Whatever will honor you, do it. Nungramukong now. Amen. Then he looked at me and said, your turn. I was about lower than a flea's knee. I was about that high. Oh, I said, Lord, what an awesome prayer of just wanting God to be glorified. No confusion on his face. Because one way or the other, God was going to be God. That's how he looked at it. But with me, I was figuring things. There was a lot of confusion here, right? And so as I prayed audibly, I also prayed that God would forgive me for doubting, for trying to figure out if God knew what he was doing. Isn't he building his church? Do you think God knows what he's doing? Sure he does. We just heard about those added to the church. Wonderful thing. And so I stopped praying and I said, in the name of Jesus, you know, and you know what? His wife was healed. God chose to heal his wife. And you know, the queen of Thailand, I can't go into the story, it would take another hour. The queen, the mother of the king, buried him. This little guy, buried Naisong, had him buried. And all the military and the police and all the people had to come to his funeral. Could you see, say this, a little guy like you, Christian, nobody will show up when you die. It was the largest funeral ever in the history of the Seoul culture. Because all these vehicles started driving in. And then right after that, the queen of Thailand adopted his village. Put electricity in. Paved the roads. Planted trees. All because there was a man who just trusted God. Childlike faith. God said it. God will do it. So let me pick it up in closing. Verse 25. And so, Jesus says, you know, guys, he said, I don't want to be rough on you, but you are foolish. He said, you're a little foolish here. See, I still don't know who he is. You know, in one sense of the word, he says, you know, you're a bit foolish. It really was necessary that Christ should die. You know. And then in verse 27, I think McElwain got the chronological approach from the Lord. You know, he began with Moses. Well, actually, John starts pre-Genesis, right, John? You know, talking about Christ. But so look at verse 20. It says, then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning who? Concerning himself. You know, I hear people say, I don't get a whole lot out of the Old Testament. It's about him. Can you imagine Jesus walking and you say, you ever find me in the Old Testament? Oh, I didn't know you were there. You know. Well, yeah, he says, all the scriptures talk about me. And he began to explain about himself in the scriptures. And then he goes on, and then he went home with them and he reclined at the table and was eating with them and he broke some bread, and we're now picking up verse 31, okay? Then their eyes were open. Okay? Then their eyes were open and he vanished from their sight. Verse 32. And they said one to another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road? While he was explaining the scriptures. Oh, beloved, what changed them was the scriptures. And what will change you is the scriptures. Apply them. Use them. Embrace them. Write them upon the table of your heart. They are the ones that will help you through difficult times. Amen? You know, embrace God's Word. And see, he explained the scriptures to them. And then said, our hearts were burning, man, when he began. Have you ever had a devotional time when you went, whoa, this is good stuff. This is cool stuff. And you're reading the Word of God and you just don't want to stop. Your heart's burning. The Spirit of God is just blessing you through the Word of God. And it says that they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. You know what? I think they sort of ran. I really do. I believe they headed back. They were going like this, you know. They were heading back running. And I want to close with this five little things here on their running, and it's all part of Scripture. But and it says they headed back. Verse 34 said this, and they when they got back there, they to the same group that they left, they said, hey guys, the Lord really is alive. He's risen. He lives. See, And then he said, and even he appeared to Peter. Now look at verse 35. All right. Norm, do you have verse 35? Read the first phrase of verse 35. Okay. And they began to relate their experience. And that's what changed it. You know, when someone else gets up and shares, you know, folks, I was going through a difficult time, but God did this. You're sitting there going, man, I wish that was true in my life. But God wants you to have an experience with Him. Some of you young people hearing about John talking about finances, you're getting ready to go to the mission field, you're going, man, you know, can God do that for me? And one day you're going to be standing going, you know what? I was trusting the Lord and the Lord did this and that, you know, and you're standing up and you're excited because you're what? Sharing your experience. And these guys headed back saying, He lives, He lives. And here's what happened. Running with what? The evidence of an open tomb. The angels encamped around about them. Running with the fact that they had heard the witnesses and testimonies of what God could do and had done, an empty tomb. But I'm talking about the testimonies and witnesses of other believers in your life. They were running with the Scriptures now that they had understood and embraced and believed, and they were really moving out. And now they were running with their own personal experience that He lives. And so their countenance went from a look of defeat to a look of confusion to a look of confidence. Confidence. And it all changed by embracing the Word. Wow. Make the book live to me, dear Lord. Get in it. Walk in it. Ask God just to just drench your heart with His Word. And He will reveal Himself to you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is, Jesus says, that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will make myself known to him or her. Let's pray together. So, Lord, I don't know if there's some folks sitting here wondering if you could forgive them. But you do. They're wondering, Lord, if you love them. You do. Romans 8, 38 and 39. I didn't get a chance to read that, but you love them. Nothing will separate them from your love. Nothing. Principalities or powers, things to come, things present, angels, death. Oh, it's just a host of things in those verses. And it ends up saying, nothing shall separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. That's what that verse says. And so maybe somebody's struggling, Lord, that maybe they wonder if you love them or not. Oh, you do. And may they take Romans 8, 38 and 39 and just live in it today. And as they go out to eat, just open it up and open the Word of God and just, boy, this is good. It's better than what I'm eating right now. Lord, I just pray, should there be one who's not saved? Man, I don't understand this stuff. Lord, you can open their heart to become to know Christ and understand the gospel. So, Lord, thank you for the privilege. And thank you for the joy of sharing your Word and the privilege that you have given me now 56 years to share it and to preach it and to tell it wherever I go. Do thank you for the leadership of this church. Thank you, Lord, for what it means to this community. Thank you, Lord, for all the believers. And I pray, Lord Jesus, well, let me just say, man, I want you to look up because I don't want... Yeah, you can look up. I'm here, guys. But I want to... You know, folks, we need to encourage one another. And I want to close this. It's 1 minute after, and the desserts are still there. They haven't been removed yet. But this lady came to me and our sons, to Bev and I and our sons, to Bev, and then Bev related to me, came to, in her Sunday school class. She's 60-some years old. And she was a believer. But she was so discouraged. She said, before I found you two guys, and you took me in, and you loved me for who I was, she said, I was getting ready to walk out in front of a car and die. I had no reason to live. So discouraged. Is it possible that we just walk out and ignore her? Someone, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Who am I to put my arm around and say, I love you. I love you. And you mean so much to this church. You mean so much. And that person will go, oh, thank you, Lord. I was asking if you love me, maybe someone would tell me, and this person did. I could tell you stories of where that's happened over and over again. Well, are we done? I had to ask, you know. So, let's stand together and embrace one another when you leave, okay? Don't hurt anybody for that, whatever it is back there. I love you. Love the Lord, folks. Embrace His Word. God bless you. Have a good day.